positivity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, positivity in the fact that I failed, but it's a better failure. Or that if I failed, then at least I failed doing something ambitious, I believe, uh-huh. or something that I felt had integrity to it.
Yes.
And if it's something doesn't have integrity to it, under scrutiny, it crumbles. So I think yes. it's very important to believe in what you're doing. And wholeheartedly, and you know, as much as irony is useful, I think, you know, underneath the irony has to be something substantial.
I think that you're the greatest role model for what you just said, and I'm very glad to contemplate all these issues with you, Chloe. time's running out, but tell us quickly dear. Where your artwork is being shown and what are your future projects.
Yes, I'm currently represented by Allison's Fine Arts. And they have my work there. Mm-hmm. And in the future, I hope to have another show with them and to continue making good mistakes.
That's a great one. And what, do you have any specific projects in mind? Or?
I do. I mean, right now, I'm working on kind of large pieces. I want to kind of do a whole party installation in which, you know, your four walls
surrounded.
You're still
surrounded. In party mode, huh?
Yeah, but I also right. want to expand it. I do other themes like people standing on bus stops or soldiers, different groups of people without faces. And
do radio next time. Oh. People without, because we don't have a face, you know? We think about that. Yeah. We're only a voice. Oh. We have nothing associated with
us.
Well,
the voice is very powerful.
Okay, paint a voice. Okay, I'll give you that challenge.
Okay, I'll try and paint your voice. Yes.
Thank you so much, Chloe, for coming on, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
Okay.
Quickly, the weather forecast for this afternoon and tonight, moderate to easterly, southeasterly winds, hot in the afternoon with sunny periods for the next few days, and a few showers over the weekend. Temperature right now, 31 degrees. Relative humidity is 69%. Stay tuned for news right now with Tara Newman, and I'll be back shortly afterwards. And thanks again, Chloe.
Oh, thank you.
RTHK News.
It's 2 o'clock. I'm Terry Nealon. A Legislative Council inquiry has blamed lax regulation, banking malpractice and government inaction for the more than $20 billion in losses suffered by Hong Kong investors and Lehman Brothers mini-bonds. The long-awaited report by a subcommittee calls for regulation of the financial services industry to be streamlined and for the sale of complex and risky investment products to be limited to only suitable investors. Cecil Wong reports.
The committee's 359-page report concluded that banking regulators had fallen down on the job in protecting investors and ensuring banks abide by the rules. It said there may not have been sufficient regulation, and the division of powers between the Monetary Authority and the Securities and Futures Commission had made things worse. The banks and brokerages themselves were found to be guilty of wide-ranging deficiencies, putting inappropriate risk ratings to the highly complex products, selling them to people who are not suitable investors, and putting misleading information in some training materials. The committee also expressed grave concern at the government's failure to take the initiative to conduct a comprehensive review of the regulatory arrangements, leaving weaknesses unaddressed for years.
More than 100 Lehman Brothers mini-bond investors who'd been protesting outside LegCo expressed disappointment and anger over the report. They later staged a protest march to Central. A former chairman of the Alliance of Lehman Brothers Victims in Hong Kong, Peter Chan, said he was disappointed over the different treatment for the various officials involved.
If we set a standard on Joseph Yan to be reprimanded, I think the financial secretary, Mr. John Zheng, and his subordinate, Mr. Chen Gaqiang, should bear more responsibility than Joseph Yan. I think they should step down. I mean, they should at least step down because of this Lehman Brothers saga.
The Monetary Authority noted that the LegCo report had not fully taken into account information and representations it had submitted, in particular the impact on investors of the sudden collapse of Lehman Brothers and the supervisory actions taken by the authority before the firm collapsed. But at the same time, it said it would, when appropriate, introduce further measures to protect investors. The Democratic Party has called on top officials of the incoming administration to take a 30% pay cut. At a LegCo establishment subcommittee meeting, lawmaker Cheng Man Kwong said it was unreasonable that ministerial salaries in Hong Kong were higher than those of leaders of some countries. But the chairwoman of the New People's Party, Regina Yip, said she didn't think principal officials in the SAR were overpaid.
One Democrat Party member cited the example of France. But France is quite different. France is in economic crisis. Government's implementing austerity measures, so the ministers need to set a good example. But this is not true in the case of Hong Kong. And actually, our principal officials, in terms of inflation, their pay has not been inflation adjusted for 10 years. So I don't think they are overpaid. Not that I agree their pay should be comparable to private sectors, but I don't think 30% cut is justifiable.
The proposed salary cut is one of 21 motions the party plans to move relating to the incoming government's restructuring plan. The meeting was adjourned just before the regular LegCo meeting started. It'll resume on the coming Monday. No votes were taken today. A lawyer has told the High Court that a law banning anyone with a pending jail sentence from contesting a Legislative Council election is discriminatory and unjustified. The lawyer was making submissions in a judicial review on behalf of a member of the League of Social Democrats, Anson Wong. He was jailed for 2 weeks for disrupting a speech by Transport Secretary Eva Cheng last April while protesting against MTR fare rises. A LegCo ordinance states that anyone who has yet to serve a jail sentence is disqualified from being nominated as a candidate. Mr. Wong's lawyer argued that a blanket ban on anyone facing a jail term is unjustified. The hearing continues. Police in Canada say packages containing human remains have been sent to two schools in Vancouver, either by post or courier. A spokesman for the Vancouver Police Department said he couldn't confirm whether the incident was linked to the case of Luca Magnotta, a Canadian porn actor under arrest in Germany on suspicion of killing and dismembering his boyfriend in Montreal and uploading a video of him doing so on the internet. A short time ago, the Hang Seng Index stood at 18,484. That's 225 points up on the previous close. Figures there from Bloomberg, and that's the news from RTHK.
An international station for an international city. This is Radio 3.
Maybe I'm a slave to mine. Legionnaires' disease is caused by Legionella bacteria, which are found naturally in the environment, especially in warm water. Infection normally occurs after inhaling contaminated water vapor, and the elderly, smokers, alcoholics, and persons with weakened immunity are at higher risk of contracting the disease. To help prevent Legionnaires' disease, always clean and maintain water supply systems properly. Persons with weakened immunity should drink boiled water and avoid using water vapor generating devices such as humidifiers and showers.
This is sick.
Welcome to second hour of Quok Talk, and here I've got a very musical troupe in front of me, and I expect some live singing and dancing for the least, maybe a little booze on the side to kick off the characters. You've heard them already. They are the stars of the musical Annie that's playing right now at the APA. So at this point, let me just introduce them, starting with Sue. Sue is Miss Hannigan, who plays the evil Well, maybe you should announce who you are yourself.
I think what she really is, I would say she's a bit misunderstood because her life has never gone down the road that she wanted to travel. You know, she's never had a boyfriend. And what she does, every time she sees a man, usually Bundles is the laundryman. He comes to change the sheets once a month. She tries to seduce him. Then she tries to seduce the sergeant, Lieutenant Ward, that tries to bring Annie back when she's escaped. And then she even tries to go and flirt with President Roosevelt at the end of the show.
Yes, so, he almost fall on his lap.
Yes, so in a way, I feel sorry for her, but when she has to be really, really mean and horrible towards the orphans, she can be. She's simply like that because they're awful to her. They're dangled dead mice
in front
of her.
Are they really that horrible for you? I'm going to have to ask the lady herself.
Yeah.
Now, the little lady who represents all the orphans, of course, the star of the show, is Ella Crossland. Ella, welcome.
Hi.
Now, tell us, what do you think? Are orphans that horrible?
No, they're not horrible.
What do you have to say to Miss Hannigan about that, then?
She's really mean. I think Annie's a very positive person, so and she doesn't think the bad thing. She thinks positive about the things.
How do you do that when things are not so well? You know, it's encompassed in the song, Tomorrow, in the opening,
yeah,
where you're saying that you're full of hope, there's always tomorrow. But do you think little girls actually think like that? If there's something, if you said you had a bad day today, and maybe you felt your friends were mean to you at school, or your mom ignored you when you needed to talk to her, how do you make yourself feel that it's going to be all right?
I just think of the positive things that are going to come.
You sound like the song.
She's been brainwashed.
All right.
But I think you do, though, don't you? You sort of, I suppose we all try and think, because when we're younger, I guess we haven't been through too many sort of bad things at that time, if you like, when you're younger. So I guess it's automatically easier, isn't it, to be a bit more positive and say, oh, it's all going to be all right in about half an hour. You know, so you sort of gee yourself up into that, don't you? Whereas when you're a bit older and you've gone through the mill about 55,000 times, you then think, it's never going to be all right, is it?
Well, you know, it's better to be like that than, you know, I have three kids and I ask them, how was school today? They go, fine. I mean, how am I going to get them to be more interesting in their response to that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not going to change, is it? No. Okay, so now moving on to you, David Alistair, who is Oliver Warbuck's daddy.
Mac Alistair,
excuse me. Daddy Warbucks, who's also famous for being a villain. You were apparently nominated for Best Villain in one of the British Soaps Awards. So what are you, a good guy or a bad guy?
I'm a good guy. But the good thing is, you see, if you play a bad guy on television, everyone remembers you.
Is that right?
Oh, there's no... If you're Mr. Nice Guy...
Forget it. Guys finish last.
Exactly. Whereas if you... the character I played on television was very much a wolf in sheep's clothing. So the audiences were guessing every week, is it... Well, no, he's not that. But no, I don't think he could have been. I don't know. He couldn't have been as nasty as that.
Yeah.
But actually, he wasn't a very nice man.
What is the backstory of Daddy Warbucks? I mean,
Daddy Warbucks.
Because he's not that young.
No. You noticed. It's
the
a good job we're not doing television. Warbucks is called Warbucks because he was a very unpleasant character who made his money out of steel in the First World War.
Oh,
which
didn't
is why
know that.
He was called. You know the story of Annie and
Daddy
Warbucks.
Can you enlighten our listeners,
right,
for people who don't have any background?
Well, if they don't know anything about it, it was based on an American strip cartoon, which was syndicated across the American newspapers in the 40s. And it was basically a bit like Good Cop, Bad Cop, that Daddy Warbucks went round New York and round the world, hand in hand, and Daddy Warbucks would be saying, you know, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, because we've got to make more money, we've got to create this and create that. And Annie was saying, but what about this element, the human element? And Daddy, you've forgotten this. And Annie educated Daddy in the strip cartoon. And the writers, Thomas Meehan, and the writers of the musical Annie, took the strip cartoon and turned it into the musical that we know today.
And that's why he's Daddy Warbucks, and that's why...
But what's his personal story? Like, did he ever get married?
No, he didn't get married. Mm-hmm. If you come and see the show, you'll see that he gets...
But was he always enamoured with his secretary?
No, he's never had time for anybody else. It's Annie that actually makes him aware of other people and makes him aware of another type of life, not just making money and being a multimillionaire.
Well, that's a very good point that may be very relevant to Hong Kong. How do you all feel about that? Because Hong Kong is a very busy, stressful place. I don't know how much you've seen in your busy time here, but even for families, people get so caught up with their jobs or their lives and their socializing that they don't have time for their children, even if they love them.
But that's true. That's true in any city in the world, isn't it?
Yes. But I mean, I think I've noticed it a little more, certainly with the orphans auditioning process and that kind of thing, because a lot of the girls playing the orphans, very, very lovely girls, but seemingly to me, they seem to have assistants looking after them. Mm-hmm. Do they call them, armors?
Yes, it's the domestic helpers, yes.
But I did hear quite a disturbing story. I won't mention who it came from, but it was a mature lady with children of her own, and she said she the one thing that surprised her, she's British, and she said she found it very disturbing that her children lived next door to the parents in a separate house with the helper. And so the parents only saw their children sort of maybe sometime during the day because they wanted to pursue their social life.
No.
Yes, so they never saw the children in the morning. You know, the child was given her breakfast and everything. This was Kate. And do you know what I mean?
I don't know her.
That kind of thing, you know, I would find that a little bit disturbing.
A little?
Now, it seems to me that... but also, I'm very intrigued by the tiger mother.
Oh, glad. Well, this is some inspiration for your next character, because they really mean, or their really intentions are good for their children?
Well,
you know?
I think their intentions are probably quite good. But what was that lady that she caused a great? Did you read about it, Deb? She was very controversial book she wrote.
Yes,
I think whether it was called Tiger Mother.
Yes, Tiger.
Tiger Mother something sister or whatever it was.
God, what's the?
But anyway, it was fantastic Mother. Because it was of course, all the radio stations, like, you know, one similar to your own, and all the talk shows. This poor woman, dear. She was dragged out to every flipping radio show going.
Well, but it is. It's a talk of the town. It's relevant to a lot of people because there's so much pressure parents put on their kids to go in, and the measure of success in getting into a university, good school, all that stuff. Mm. So, Ellen, I'm going to ask you this. Because you're traveling, you don't have time for a proper school when you're traveling like that. How would you feel if your parents put pressure on you to say, hey, you've got to do all your homework, you've got to do this in order to succeed, you have to get into this school and... that pressure.
I'd feel quite upset and it would put a lot of pressure on me. And I don't think it would be right.
What if they said they didn't want you to do this type of show that you would love because it's affecting your schoolwork and you need to do that more important?
Quite upset.
Yes.
Yeah.
How would you...
Sorry, I just want to hop in there because I started when I was Ella's age. But I went to a normal school back home in UK.
What's normal?
I didn't go to a stage school. I didn't go to a theatre school. I went to a normal boys' school and happened to get an audition for a show called The Sound of Music in the West End. I went in to play Friedrich in that. And my parents and my headmaster were very clever using exactly this because they said, you can do this. My headmaster was fantastic. He made it work for me on condition that my exam results didn't slump every year.
Mm.
He said, if it shows in your exam results, the work stops. Mm. And it was a great carrot for me. It wasn't a you may not do this. It was you can do this if you can prove to us that you can do both.
Mm.
And I was a very lazy student, and I think I was a very average student. And I think that having that carrot and stick over me...
It works, huh?
...worked for me big time. Big time. I mean, it then got a bit out of hand when I was doing a film when I was 17.
Right, teenage years.
Yeah, exactly. But anyhow, but... But we have a lot of Hong Kong students who come back to our schools who have been pushed by the Tiger Mothers in this country.
Sure.
And they've got into top British public schools. And let me tell you, they all outperform the Brits.
Yes. In what way, though? Academically, you're talking about. Okay, but can they sing?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about achievement.
I know, but what is the measure of success? Does that make you...
Exactly. Because we're going back to Daddy Starbucks, as our director calls Daddy. Going back to, like you said, what's the measure of success? In Daddy Starbucks' case, the measure of his success was actually learning how to be a human being for the first time in his life. So I understand exactly what you're saying. What is real achievement? I think the real achievement with people around the world in general should be if they can actually be a solid person, an all-round person. Maybe sometimes you've got all the elements of humanity within that one person. But equally, I think as well as that, surely shouldn't one strive to try and be the best they can be at whatever they set their sights on. It's no good like in England where it's the participating that matters. Of course it's not. That's, you know, absolute rubbish. It's trying to be the best among the best. Mm. A little bit of healthy competition.
Yeah.
Because how are you ever going to understand when you reach the top of the mountain, shall we say? You've got to try to reach the top of the mountain.
It's the process itself, isn't
it? Yes. But I tell you what, and also, I think linguistically, the Chinese are... They're really, really good at understanding English. Oh. And they speak English better than the English because they learn it very painstakingly well.
It's the rote way. Mm. Have you picked up any Chinese, by the way, since you've been here?
Yes.
We're going to hear some?
Ngoi.
Doche.
Okay.
and le Homa.
Okay.
And Homa Fan.
Who's Homa Fan?
Homa Fan.
Who are you talking about?
Yes, these troublesome orphans. Homa Fan. That's what we say, don't we?
Didn't you say something in Chinese on the show? Somebody
yes,
says something.
Cheesing Kuai Lo. Yeah, these stupid foreigners. That's probably what you think it was, is it? Cheesing Kuai Lo.
Ellen, did you learn any Chinese? Did you pick up anything?
No.
Oh. Okay.
What's a good thing for Ella to learn? What would you like to say?
Well, let's take a break and we'll think about it because I don't want to say anything bad on air. Yeah, we got to find something appropriate. I better get the nine out of the gutter kind of mode first. Okay, here's a song for you guys. It's called Tomorrow Comes, all right? This is The Gorillaz. This is a modern adaptation of the Tomorrow Comes concept, and later on hopefully we'll get the real Tomorrow song.
Oh.
So again.